Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bumblebit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. If you're on the show side, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Yarn for our mob, so you across the nation, big shout out to all the First Nation radio stations, to Deadly You Mob, a Deadly Black Network, and Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all the traditional owners across the deadly country of ours, welcome back. National Talk Black. Yana with the ball around. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Chris Philpott, CEO at Smart Approved Watermark. And we're going to talk about Water Night on the line. Chris, very good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Good morning to you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're going to have a yarn, my friend, about Water Night. I'm thinking, what is Water Night? Is that where we put the kids to sleep and then we go skinny dipping? Explain, please, brother.
That'd be Water Night. That's a different version of Water Night.
Oh, sorry. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Please educate me and our listeners.
Water Night is actually today. It starts at 5 o'clock today, 5 p.m. this afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. And it is all about not using taps or showers or running water. And you can survive on just one bucket.
Okay, so respecting the beautiful, powerful, lovely liquid by, filling up our containers and having a shower earlier, what have you, after five, stop.
Yeah, absolutely. All so right. What we're saying is it's basically an awareness event to help us all to stop and slow down and realise how often we reach for the taps. We use our taps so many times. We're actually found that Australians are addicted to using tap water in the home. And so we just feel like we need to have this Water Night event this afternoon, which just allows us all to slow down and stop and think about how many times we're actually touching those taps.
Well, Chris, if you look at it, we live in the fast lane. It is the 21st century, and we just go. We're not even thinking of something so fundamental and so precious as in loving and respecting water. You there, Chris? Lost Chris Philpott. You there? Hello, Chris. We'll try to get Chris back. He's probably going for a swim, partner punt. We'll get Chris back. Chris Philpott, his name is CEO at Smart Approved Watermark, and got some information about Water Night, as he explained. It's about loving and respecting water and getting ready for your Water Night. So it's called Water Night, experiencing with a few preparation pointers. He talked about fill up enough water bottles of your household and put them in the fridge. He talked about fill your kettle ready for a cup of later. So there's some ideas. We'll check again with Chris. Chris, you there?
I'm here, sorry.
Oh, I thought you went for a swim. So, my friend, it's about respecting the precious liquid of water. As I was saying, we live in the fast lane, 21st century. We just go. This gives us a time to stop and think and love and respect water and appreciate it, acknowledge, put a focus on water, yes?
Absolutely that. And, make us realise how many times we're actually using our taps. And so there are a few caveats around Water Night. We encourage people to put some bottles in the fridge full of water for drinking. We're saying you can still flush toilets and you can still wash your hands to be COVID safe if you've been outside. But generally, the aim is not to use taps or running water for anything else during Water Night.
So have a shower before 5 o'clock is what you're saying. You there, Chris? Lost Chris again. Gee, not good start, but it's all good. We picked up what he was putting down in regard to storing water. So it is Water Night tonight. So from 5 p.m. onwards, need to slow down with the water intake, as he mentioned. Flushing the toilet's okay. Brushing your teeth, you know, all that sort of stuff. Do a bathing, having a bath, do that before 5 o'clock, and let's just do it for the one night. That's what water night's all about, and love and respecting that beautiful liquid, most beautiful liquid on planet Earth. I'll just try again, Chris, to finish up that conversation. Chris, we've got a bad connection there.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on with
Yeah, all good, all good, all good. So, yeah, so thank you very much for sharing. So Water Night, when did this come about, and how long has Water Night been running for?
Well, this is the first year. We've just launched it, and it's actually National Water Week this week, so we've launched it for this week.
Good.
The idea came from some research we did earlier this year where we found that, you know, we actually asked 10 households to participate in not using water for the evening, and they said that they'd freak out and they wouldn't be able to manage. And then they did the event, and the next day they were so shocked at how many times they touched their taps. They loved it. So we wanted to give everyone a chance to do it. We wanted to give the whole of Australia a chance to participate.
Is this a global thing, Chris?
Not yet, no. Just
that's the goal,
moment,
isn't it?
So we're hoping that it might go global next year, a bit like Earth Hour is for energy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Powerful, Chris. So, and you're the CEO of Smart Approved Watermark. How long have you been in that position?
About 6 years.
Okay.
But, yeah, I've been doing water efficiency most of my career for about 20 years now. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, like I said, it is the most precious liquid on planet Earth, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. And we really, can I mention the website so people can
please
sign
do,
up?
Please do.
We're encouraging everybody to sign up at www.waternight.com.au. It is this afternoon at 5 p.m., so you've got just under five hours or so to get on board and sign up. But we'd love you all to come on board and sign up with us. Thank you.
All right, fantastic. Chris, you take care. All the best. Thanks for sharing.
No problem at all. See you later.
Bye-bye. Chris Fullpot, his name is CEO at Smart Approved Watermark, and it is Water Night tonight, so get ready for your Water Night experience with a few preparation pointers. As he mentioned, fill up enough water bottles for your household and put them in the fridge. Fill your kettle up, ready for a cuppa later. Make sure your phones are charged up and ready to record the fun you'll have. So there it is, just doing something different, you know what I mean? That's like doing a fast, you know, when you're looking after your body and regarding your dietary system. So he's looking after, respecting the most powerful, beautiful, precious liquid on planet Earth, water. Love and respect it. Have your say, Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Yana with the Bully One, Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from the Curry. Live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumbleprint Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
What happened to the good old ways when everybody cared? Didn't have much of anything. What we had, we always shared. We always helped someone out in their hour of need. As the essence of our culture, giving in to the power of greed. Listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit of our good old Koree way. Listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit of our good old Koree way. A lot of good men and women fought for the freedom we enjoy. Now there isn't much of anything we can't give our girls and boys. But some of us have forgotten what the struggle is for. And they're living in ivory towers with marble on their floor. So listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit the spirit. Listen to the spirit of our good old Korea way. Sunday afternoon, Mama cooked roast dinner and sang as a tune. Been a lot of good changes, I should have to say. But there's nothing wrong with hanging on to some of the good old ways. So listen to the spirit, listen to the spirit, listen to the spirit of our good old Korea ways.
A very good morning, you Daily Bob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now, CARE is, well, the CLAN, sorry, CLAN, which is CARE Leavers, Australasia Network, offer support to people who have grown up in orphanages. I'm going to catch up and have a yarn with Leonie Sheedy, the CEO of CLAN, on the line. Very good morning, Leonie. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm really good.
Thank you for coming to the program. And where are you based, Leonie?
I live in Geelong, but we have an office in Sydney, and another one in Melbourne and Geelong. We have a museum in Geelong too.
Okay. So, CLAN, Care Leavers Australasia Network. Who is CLAN and what do CLAN do?
CLAN was established in 2000, and we had the first public meeting for state wards and home children, as we called each other then.
Mm.
And not everyone was a state ward, so they were usually in the same orphanage or children's home mission, but people didn't know they were state wards. So we wanted a name that embraced both groups of people. So Care Leavers was established in the UK, and we just borrowed their name. We are
sure.
Mission. And CLAN has been around for 20 years. We produce a newsletter. We help people get their orphanage records or state ward records. We have free telephone counselling or face-to-face in those three offices.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it now with COVID, but we produce a newsletter. They are able to write their account of their childhood in those newsletters. If they're looking for any orphanage friends, they do have to be a member, and we do have a $10 membership fee.
Okay, yep.
But they get a newsletter every second month.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a chance to nominate for a position on the committee if they wish. So it's a support group run by Care Leavers for Care Leavers. And we have both black and white
Yep.
Care Leavers We have people who are in overseas orphanages.
Mm.
Clan doesn't care about what colour your eyes are.
Yeah,
you
beautiful.
You grew up in an orphanage, children's home, mission or foster care.
All right, let's talk about orphanage. A good thing for kids who weren't didn't have a home, were homeless, so to speak, but then the bad thing in regard to some of the treatment that happened to these young ones, yes?
Definitely, and children, you know, there's a case in Western Australia about the stolen wages. Children in orphanages and homes and foster care and missions worked their butts off for the churches and charities and governments of this nation, and their bodies were broken, and the labour that children did, you know...
A form of slavery, I'm picking up.
Yes, I think so, Trevor. You know, children were working in commercial laundries, and the churches usually got free water and they got free labour, and they got money for doing the big laundries of prisons and hotels, all on the labour of young girls, and the boys were out on farms working. And, you know, the nation, you know, sits up and takes a notice of children who have been sexually used or had sexual violence committed on them. But they forget the other forms of harm done to children, like to be separated from your parents.
Mm.
No matter how dysfunctional those parents are, they're still your parents.
Well, exactly, but they're still your parents, but if you're separated from your parents, then it's the duty of the state to still take care of you as a child, but that wasn't the case in orphanages.
No, and many people, when they left the so-called welfare system, were left out on their own, and many of them committed crimes because in order to survive, and then they went to jail. But many of the boys, the men that I speak to, who went on to jail, said that jail was much better than the boys' home.
Wow.
I wasn't getting bashed or raped in the jail. People respected me more in the jail.
So that's the support that you're giving to care leavers, is how you describe them, in regard to their future and the scar from the past, yes?
Well, for those who were sexually used, there is a national redress scheme that the churches and charities and state governments had the option of opting in to give people a small amount of money it's not the word compensation, it's redress, to give these care leavers who have been sexually raped and sodomised. And you can have this money up to $150,000, but hardly anyone gets $150,000. And, you know, it's good for those elderly care leavers who they haven't got time to go the civil path, and they don't have names that abusers, they don't know the names of abusers.
Yep.
But that's great for that group of care leavers who are sexually used. There's an avenue for them to go and get some redress payments.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who were flogged, made to work, the unpaid labour, the emotional and psychological abuse,
of course,
meted out to children daily,
yes,
well, there's nowhere for them to go.
And here comes the Clan.
And here comes the Clan. Unfortunately, Clan lobbies for all care leavers, all forms of abuse and neglect, but governments and churches they've turned a blind eye to the other forms of abuse and neglect.
So you don't get government funding, Clan?
Oh, we get government funding. The only reason that we are in existence is because of the Royal Commission. We help people to go to the Royal Commission. We help people do their redress claims.
Yes.
And we are funded to do that, Trevor. But, you know, the state of Queensland gives nothing. Tasmania gives nothing. Western Australia gives nothing.
Sad.
And the ACT and Northern Territory give us nothing. And yet we've been helping care leavers for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And we have to charge the most vulnerable, the poorest of abuse victims, we have to charge them a fee.
Oh,
wow.
That
awful?
That's very sad. So so-called for duty of care, the state and the government need to have a good look at themselves, don't they?
My word. And, like, you know, we're a national group, and so some people can't even bear to live in the state where they were abused and harmed. Mm. So many Queenslanders go to live in Western Australia or vice versa. You know, they...
And they lost their connection to loved ones, families or what have you, you know?
Exactly. And but there's too many dark memories to live in Queensland.
That's true too, yeah. You
know? And so they need to go to a state where they're not going to be constantly reminded of the abuse that they endured. But, you know, we also help the children of care leavers because... You know, having, when we grew up, it's a very abnormal way to grow up, Trevor.
Yes.
You don't have parents, you have nuns who are your role model.
And you don't have a strong foundation of being a parent yourself thereafter.
Exactly. And, well, you don't even know how to love and parent.
Yes, thank you. That's right.
And so our children, sadly, we've passed some of our trauma on to our children.
Yes, yes.
And they don't understand why we get depressed at Christmas time or Mother's Day, Father's Day.
Yeah.
And so our children, they might know that we grew up in an orphanage or a mission, but we're not, you know, like I'm chatty now, but if you'd met me 20 years ago, I didn't talk about my childhood experiences. I was ashamed.
Because was you in orphanage as well, were you?
Yeah, oh, yes, I was in an orphanage for 13 years.
Okay.
Yes, and I'm one of 7 Sheedy children, and we went to a total of 26 Victorian orphanages and homes.
Well, you're one of the lucky ones or one of the successful ones that overcame this atrocity.
Well, I've always had a burning desire for justice. I saw a lot of injustice as a child.
Yes.
And I can't stand adults who hurt children. I can't stand it.
Mm.
And I've always had a desire to see justice in my lifetime. And, you know, I want justice for all those people who weren't sexually abused but were hurt in other ways. So many people tell me, Trevor,
yes,
that, you know, sexual abuse was awful, but the daily living with fear and sense of hopelessness and witnessing the abuse on other children was far more damaging than being sexually used.
That's sad. So, look, Claire and I are there. So to Australians out there who grew up in orphanages, they can contact our clan and look for support. Yep.
Yes, we have a 1-800 number.
Mm-hmm.
Monday to Friday, it's 1-800-008-774, and we have a Twitter account, we have an Instagram account, and we have a website, www.clan.org.au. I just want to read you out this sign that I'm standing in front of.
Yes.
It says, "We had to grow up without our parents and pretend it didn't matter."
Wow. It did matter.
It did matter, and it still matters, Trevor.
It does, yes. Look, hats off to Clan and love the work that you're doing, Leonie, and thanks for sharing. So to all our Australians out there who grew up in an orphanage and are looking for support or direction, reach out. So orphanage, they do not operate no more, do they?
No, they don't.
Thank you.
They're in foster care now.
Foster care. All right.
Orphanage.
Yep. And do you feel as though the government's doing their job regarding looking after kids in foster care? The people who are foster carers are doing their bit?
I don't know that I can speak about children in foster care, but, you know, how could the police in Western Australia release that perpetrator?
That's true too.
Girl,
exactly, yeah, that's true too.
That little girl that she suffered for 6 years.
Yes, yeah.
And your heart just bleeds. I put a tweet up about that girl and you just go, how could the police not detain that man?
Yeah.
He just didn't do it once. There are 11 charges.
Yeah. So people can reach out to Claire 1-800-008-774.
1-800-008-774.
Yep, fantastic. Leonie, nice talking to you. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your deadly team. And big shout out to all our Australians out there. Reach out because Clan will reach back, yes?
Yes, and thank you for having us on, Trevor. I'm much appreciated.
Okay, Leonie, you take care, my dear.
Okie doke. Hooroo.
Bye bye. Deadly Yarn there. Leonie Sheedy, CEO of CLAN. CLAN is Care Leavers Australasian Network. And they are supporting they're offering support to people who have grown up in orphanages. You can call them on 1-800-008-774 or their webpage, all the W's, .clan.org.au. CLAN as in CLAN, which is an acronym for Care Leavers Australasian Network. And for people out there who are feeling down and sad and what have you, Lifeline Australia is always there as well. 131114. The number again for Lifeline, 131114. Or have a yarn here with Trendy Trev on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. Too Deadly.
Sometimes when this place gets kinda empty, sound of the breath fades with the light. I think about loveless fascination under the Milky Way.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Good.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bama Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call-ins on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, students with disabilities face increasing barriers to education, Royal Commission has been told. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. David Armstrong, international expert on behaviour, disability and mental health in education. On the line, Dr. David, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Trevor.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you for coming to the program. You're based where, in Sydney?
In Melbourne.
In Melbourne, okay. Thinking of you guys, yes, in Melbourne. Still in lockdown at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, it's pretty bad, Trevor. But it's, hopefully the sun's coming up, it's getting better.
Light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, yes.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of light at the end of the tunnel, it's sad to hear, but students with disabilities face increasing barriers to education. So are we talking about teachers on students, or are we talking other students? What barriers are you talking that these students are picking up?
Well, what happens is, too many students, Trevor, is students are suspended or expelled from schools or excluded from schools. We know it's a big issue. And what happens is, often the kids not getting their needs met in the classroom. And then the teachers come in with sanctions and discipline. And the child reacts and it escalates. And then the child often gets suspended or worse for what happens next. And we know kids from Aboriginal, Indigenous and Torres Strait backgrounds are more likely to be affected by this. Kids with disabilities and kids with mental health problems too. Often it's about schools not including kids and not meeting their needs.
So when you say disability, I'm picking up that some teachers are probably looking at students with a bad behaviour problem. But then again, it could be a disability and a mental disability for all they know,
that's right. And often teachers are not finding out what's happening before they're responding and sanctioning kids, and that makes it worse. So simple things like asking, the keeping on top of how the kid's progressing, asking them, making them feel welcome in your classroom, asking them how they're progressing, talking to the family.
The communication.
Communication, Trevor. Simple stuff can help, but there are too many stressed teachers who are not asking questions and are not being compassionate towards kids.
So with respect to our teachers, I mean, they are teachers, they're not psychologists, they're not doctors or nurses, but what you're talking about is simple communication, is the foundation of building a bridge, a relationship, so to speak.
Basic, simple skills, Trevor, nothing fancy, really simple stuff that every teacher should know about caring about your kids. Wanting to know how your kids are progressing. Nothing specialist. There's no fancy special technical skills required. But and one of the sometimes excuses that are used by people is that it's too hard, it's too technical. It's really not. It's really simple stuff.
And sometimes a suspension or anything like that is like an outcast. It can be devastating to the student, can it not?
We've seen it this week, Trevor. If you're listeners look into the Disability Royal Commission website, you can see the testimony of people and the families of kids affected. It can be really devastating. And it's an indictment of the system. We're supposed to be inclusive in Australia. We've signed up to the United Nations Rights of Persons with Disability, and so we need to follow through with that in what teachers are doing and what schools are doing, and support teachers as well.
Obviously, sure, support teachers too is what I'm thinking as well. Yeah. Probably there could be a lot more work done in regard to the, if not the education for the teachers in this field, in this area, but support, a second teacher or someone with a medical background working alongside, I don't know, would that be the case?
Give teachers evidence-based strategies so they can respond in the right way to understand kids' behaviour when they're being the teacher training, when they're learning to be teachers, and also dealing with occupational stress and burnout, which is a huge issue. Many teachers are just sick. They're in job, they're coming to school, but they're sick, they're burnt out and exhausted.
Yes.
And that's when they just can't support kids often and don't have the energy to be in with kids' behaviour in the right way. So we need a national programme.
National programme.
Working on kids' occupational health in teachers.
Yes.
And looking at reducing burnout and stress.
Do you find that these findings are, you could say, because of COVID-19 as well?
COVID's going to make it really challenging for kids going back after they've been in lockdown in places like Melbourne and other places around Australia. Yeah,
sure, yes.
Definitely, it's going to make it challenging.
So a lot of work to be done in this space, but the fact that we're talking about it, we know that there's a problem there, and now we can massage the situation, the conversation, and find the solution, yes?
Exactly, Trevor. And there are simple things that can be done. It's just a case of the political will, the investment, and the right kind of knowledge to make those good things happen and move towards inclusion.
Well, here's the inclusion now, us having a conversation here on National Talk Black. Dr. David, thank you so very much. All the best to you and your team, your family. Stay safe. And we'll yarn soon, my friend.
Pleasure, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Dr. David Armstrong, international expert on behaviour, disability and mental health in education. Now, students with disability face increasing barriers to education, the Royal Commission has been told. So a lot of work needs to be done there in supporting our teachers, but also the basic communication is what Dr. David was saying there, Dr. David Armstrong, in regard to communicating with their kids. But it takes a community to raise a child, so our parents need to do their bit as well as the teachers and the student themselves. And the young ones out there, it's all about to being accountable for your own actions as well, and being sure when the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. So be ready for the learning, so to speak. All of us, we're students for life, aren't we? Have your say, your mob, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with the ball, you're on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Ready to have a yarn, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're going across the country thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service, based here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM, Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We're going to catch up with Yana with Sister Sylvia on the line, WA. Good morning, Sister.
Kaya Quab Canada, can't remember, brother, trendy, solid Trev.
Thank you, my dear. Good to hear your voice.
Yes,
how are you?
Mudich means solid, strong.
Solid, Trevor. Strong, Mudich. I love that. Yes.
Solid, strong, which we have to be to cope with everything that's going on.
Yes.
Every single place, although, you know, you hear it over and over again, the abuse and cruelty and violence and unprofessional behaviour of people, yes, in positions of authority.
Exactly.
Quite horrifying. What I phoned today is, which, you know, we're so busy with our lives, we don't always have a chance to talk about all the other things that we're doing. And I'm a member of a movement group. I've been given a notice, and I have it on the dashboard of the car, and it says, change the system, not the climate.
Change the system, not the climate. Like that.
I liked it. It, you know, came from a resistance centre where they do lots of human rights work, you know. And environmental rights and sustainability are a human right as well. We have the right to clean air and oxygen and the natural environment and the proper foods. You know, it's a birthright. You know, whether it's listed with United Nations or not, and I believe it is, under the Declaration for Indigenous Peoples, but it still is a right. So anyhow, that's changed, and the system absolutely needs changing when there's more money for the rich and people, impoverished people, have less and less to survive, and they've organised, the only way you can get an income is in their industrialised society paid work system, and that's the only way you can get food as well and survive. So something's seriously wrong with the system, you know, that's currently operating through the colonials invading this country, and as they've done around the world. So with that in mind, and also just talk about real democracy, real democracy, opportunity democracy. If every single person has the chance to stand up in Parliament and to help make the country a better a place, you know, for paid works, education, health, or every single thing that we can conceive for a healthy society, there should not be the money involved for people. Everybody should have free media to be able to have... Can you still hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me? Yep.
Yes, because the phone is beeping. I can hear you.
Think
a bit quiet. Everybody to have equal opportunity to access to the media for people to talk about what their, you know, beliefs are and what they can, you know, what they can, how they would represent.
Freedom of speech.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody to have the chance to do so and take the money out of it. Take all that money, all the, you know, the parties get controlled by the donation, especially the allegedly liberal party, because they're not liberal at all. They're actually fascists, mostly. liberal means liberally sharing, doesn't it? You know, it doesn't mean take it all for the rich and leave the poor with nothing, or doesn't mean cause climate change. It doesn't mean do coal mining and wreck the Barrier Reef, you know, which is what the things they get engaged with and controlling. And the people in Queensland, many of them, can only see losing jobs at the closure of coal mines. They can't see getting a better sustainable job and having a better future. But anyway, that's an idea I had for a long time. I stood as a candidate myself, 2004, I think it was.
Okay.
And it's impossible to compete with the...
Did you go as an independent, did you?
Yes, I went as an independent, Aboriginal independent, standing up for climate change, and, you know, it's the biggest single problem that we have, which... And other issues, refundable deposits on all packaging, money to people who are providing solutions for climate change, funding for that, funding to families so they can care for all their disabled or aged people, so they're in their own homes and not have to put their families into care. Which isn't the same as if people have real funding for families, you know, disabled children or elderly people or infirm people in their own homes, enough funding that's much more environmentally efficient and much, much healthier for families as well.
Exactly. You know? So but when you're talking about care, especially disabled, that's forever, right?
Yes, I had the support of the local Aboriginal people with the input for it, you know. And my daughter and I got flyers and we distributed them and some people thanked us, but the system's impossible, you know.
Yes.
The system is huge, so it's impossible. And we have got one mayor in Fremantle now who is has managed to get there in Wallali up. I think I'm saying it almost right.
Yes.
What they call Fremantle. But it's really, really difficult because the colonial feudal model, which they imposed on us while they were massacring everybody and everything else they were doing around the place, is strong, it's entrenched.
Yes.
And it's what they teach in the classroom, the hierarchical
exactly.
Model of power source of authority, and you be obedient to that authority, and how you say things, and how you do things, and how you think about things, whether, and I've seen many in higher education, as they call it, in universities, I've seen incorrect theories taught, and people have to regurgitate those incorrect theories in examinations to pass the exam. So there's huge...
a lot of work to be done.
But we can all, through our own cultural ways and the knowledge and the help from our ancestors who went through complete hell, Trevor.
Yes.
Think what people went through, minding their own business, living healthy lives, and all of a sudden this Holocaust, all over you, all over the place, and all the things that have been done in your own country, your food taken, and the poisoned water holes, and we have such giant shoulders to stand on.
And what are we leaving for our children, is what you're saying?
Well, yes. Look, and also, just suddenly, something that you reminded me in one of your interviews, the man I married, his father was an orphan in Canada. And he went and he had that treatment.
Mm.
And that might be why the man I married was so violent.
Okay. It's a snowball effect, hey, to what trauma happens to an individual. It's sometimes sad, but it's passed on.
Yes.
It scars the family, the so called family tree.
Yes, his father had a terrible time in Canada as a small boy. Mm. Yes. That was at farms. It wasn't in... I think it was a mixture of orphanages and farms.
Mm.
That's another very...
Well, it's supposed to be a place of safe haven for kids that are homeless, but in actual fact it became a so-called prison and a life of abuse in all facets.
Yeah. Yes, and exploitation.
Yes.
No, but that's very much how the culture is. When I was in Scotland, I saw, people were extremely authoritarian and controlling, and children had to help in the house, but it was over and above helping in the house. Children were virtually, part. That's that colonial system that they have, because they used to have children as young as six in the coal mines, Trevor.
Of course, yeah, that's right. Yes.
See, so it's that whole...
Slavery, former slavery.
Happened, yes, so this is the intergenerational, intellectual capital that impacts on the thinking of many of the churches and politicians.
Yep.
And so...
Well, can't factor
this
zero.
Is why it is... And this is why Aboriginal culture is such a gift to the world, and how the ways in which our children were cared for and brought up, in the communities, and African people. I've met people from Africa, and some of the African, one of the many African nations, I can't remember which it was now, but they have exactly the same cultures we have.
Yes.
One of them. And he was a
First Nation people across the planet, across the globe, are connected in some way. Especially in the spiritual sense.
We are, because it's common sense, Trevor.
Exactly, yes.
It's,
working
it's,
with Mother Earth.
The Garden of Eden.
Working with family,
this,
blood tie lines.
As it was once.
Yes,
it
as it was
once.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So, but what pleasure does anybody have from hurting and controlling other people? Then we hear about it in the prisons, we see it. I know I've experienced in hospitals when I was pregnant. I used to be scared stiff of nurses. And it's that. Oh, and shopping.
shopping.
In the post office.
Yep.
People are so rude and nasty to you, you know. So, and this is how they're brought up, and this is
exactly.
how they're treated.
If you're happy, let your face know. It's all simple, eh? Smile, hello, doesn't hurt.
No, the nicer we are and the politer exactly. we are and the more courteous we are when we're driving, that's another movement I'm part of. And I commend
Road rage.
To WA with another
exactly.
person from England, courtesy is catching. The nicer we are, the safer we are, the happier we are, because people like being helpful.
Well, I've always said life is simple, people complicate it, and attitude is contagious, as yours worth catching. That's the phrase.
It's what we're taught, you know,
exactly.
spare the rod, spoil the child. Have you heard that expression?
Come again?
Spare the rod,
yes.
spoil the child.
Yes. Heard
you
that.
That was the caning of teachers in the class, by teachers in the classroom.
Yeah, back in my days, I got the sixes a couple of times.
Yes, and some people say it didn't do them any harm, but only harmed people can harm another.
Yeah, true. Good conversation. You know? Thank you, my sister.
Thank you so much for being all of you there, and you know, and thank everybody for the media that we can have this, because this is what our ancestors, you know, we can keep on changing.
Voice our opinion.
Hopefully.
You talk about, you talk about freedom of speech,
Trevor.
And you're
thank
doing
you
that,
so
my
much.
Sister. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sylvia yarning up strong there from WA here on your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to the time where Murray got a sign off for you, mob. I thank you very much for your company. We're back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. But don't touch that dial. Got the news coming up here very soon, NIRS. And you mob, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. Too deadly. We are in the pandemic. Too deadly meaning abide by the rules. That's what I mean. All right. Thank you.